News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Lots of texts coming in on the overreactions thing as well, Ciara, which I think is interesting. We'll have a conversation in just a moment with Dr. Mark Brackett. But this listener makes an interesting point, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They said, hi, folks. I run a conflict resolution workshop in schools across Ireland. I work with 16 to 17 year olds. A huge part is helping them understand their reactions, where their anger really comes from. It's often from fear. I totally agree with that. Feeling unsafe or not being seen or heard, and slowing down and creating space between the reaction and how they respond. The truth is, kids do get this when we give them the language and safe, brave spaces to talk. There is something in that. We are reacting all the time, Jono, and it is, I don't think it's good for us. And I think it's creating conflict and hostility. There's other texts too, though.
Yeah, well, there are plenty of others, but let's have a chat with the man who came up with the conversation. He says, I believe we are facing an overreaction epidemic, and in order to address it, we must first acknowledge that the problem isn't our emotions, it's how we deal with them. The author of that statement was Dr. Mark Brackett, the founding director of the Yale Centre for Emotional Intelligence and author of Dealing with Feeling. I caught up on it a little bit earlier and began by asking him why this has become such a thing.
Because we haven't learned how to deal with our feelings. You know, you're in Ireland, I'm in the United States, I travel around the world. And what I've learned is that most people just have not ever had an education in how to manage their emotions. And we need to make a change.
Does that explain the internet culture that has kind of really taken off over the last few years, Mark, where everything has to be this massive row that shouldn't happen but does, and all of a sudden people are being cancelled?
Well, I mean, the internet has done a lot of things for us. A, you know, it's something that activates us very easily. You can post anything the heck you want and then you see it and you believe it oftentimes without even verifying it. And we get these strong emotions as a result of it. That's one example. Another example is, you know, there are more influencers who are experts in psychology than there are people who've gotten doctorates in psychology. And the challenge with that is that, you know, they're giving this advice that, you know, researchers would say is, you know, fluff.
Yeah. We know there's always been moral panic. It would have traditionally happened in a newspaper and spread then very slowly, like a brush fire through a community. Now it can all take off within 24 hours. And it seems to be capturing a lot of people who otherwise would have been immune to the moral panic. Is there a way of explaining the propagation of this?
I don't know if there's a way of explaining it. I just think this is the life that we're living in. The parallel is, you know, I was a kid who had a lot of bullying in school, and that was on the playground. And now it's cyberbullying. It's a different playground. And we have to learn how to live in this playground, which is in many ways more of a dangerous playground, given how big the playground is and how little we are in it.
One of the things that we at home always try to teach our children is the ability to regulate their emotions. So in other words, count to 10, step back. Don't jump straight in with what could be the wrong answer. Allow yourself time to think. Is that a dying art?
Well, I'm glad that you said that you did try to teach that, because my research actually shows that less than 10% of us believe that we had a strong education at home in healthy emotion regulation. And what you're talking about, I think, is interesting. It's more the kind of like the self-control stuff, like, Mark, don't say it. Don't do it. You're going to regret that, which is important. But I would argue that emotion regulation is much broader than that.
And I'm not speaking about any particular co-presenter in question, but how does one step back from overreaction?
Well, I think the first step is you got to be aware that you are overreacting or about to overreact. So self-awareness is the first step. Like, what am I feeling? How am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? What just happened that's causing me to have this thought, this urge to say something or do something? That's step one. Step two is you got to not say it or do it, because if it's when you're highly activated, you likely will engage in a behavior that you might regret. You know, has that ever happened to you, Jonathan? You ever?
Oh, it always does. Oh, 100%. I am a firm believer. My mother always said, bite your tongue.
The thing is that, and bite your tongue is a good one, right? To prevent you from saying something. The challenge is that, like, there needs to be more after that. If you need, you know, someone to not bother you, if it's in a bullying situation, for example, biting your tongue might not be the best solution. That's why I was saying that we need a broader range of strategies, because life is more complex than just not saying something or doing something.
A lot of sense in there. Dr. Mark Barrett from the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence speaking to me a little bit earlier. Bite your tongue, Kira. We don't do that.
Hang on 1 second. Did you say during that interview, I'm not speaking about any co-presenter in particular?
Yeah, I'm talking with Shane.
You just said you weren't talking about anyone in particular. You cheeky rip is all I'm saying. Look how calm I am. When actually I want to strangle.
You didn't overreact there at all.
But I'm plotting. I'm plotting your downfall.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.